All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Brian Whitman's out, but sitting in for him, one of the great meteorologists of all time. He's been with KCAL and CBS for 12 years. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Rubenstein. Nice to see you, man. Thank you.
Good to be here. Good to be with you. Some people say Rubenstein.
Yes, yeah. I was right. Look at that. Jerry was wrong. Wachowski thought it was Rubenstein.
No, it's Rubenstein.
Yeah. All right. You're with us for the hour. Thanks for coming in. Late notice.
My pleasure.
And Josh is, you can see him on CBS every day. What's the schedule?
The lineup is 11 a.m. Noon, 2, 3, and 4.
Wow.
I don't get paid by the broadcast, but I'm on a lot of them.
Yeah, well, for now, like for the next week, when it's, 75, high, low 52.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is the weather segment shorter than it usually is?
No, you know what turns out? It always works out this way. I always get more time when there's nothing going on.
But when
everything's breaking loose, okay, you got a minute. You got to get it all done in a minute. I've got millions of things to say. We got warnings and this and that.
Right.
No.
Yeah, we got tornadoes. You got 30 seconds.
You got 30 seconds. Get it done.
Right. But it's 75 in Disneyland. Here's 7 minutes.
Good luck. And here's your photo of the day.
All right. Speaking of the news, every single night at 9 o'clock, we do news with Rob. And what's happening in the news, Rob and everybody?
C-74.
Live from high atop the Miracle Mile, here's Robin with the news.
All right, what's going on with that news, Robin?
So many things. Potential First Lady Michelle Obama was interviewed on Larry King Live last night. Ms. Obama answered a lot of political and hard-hitting questions, but the interview did eventually take a turn for the worse, and we have a clip of Mr. King derailing the interview. 0164.
All right, Larry King talking to Barack Obama's wife.
Ready to be the first black, first female.
I'm who I
first
am.
Lady.
I'm ready for it. That's who I am.
I think there'll be a lot of pressure on you if that happens.
I just think this is a pressure-filled position. I think that anyone who steps up into this sort of level is going to find some degree of pressure. I just don't think about it in those terms. I mean, it's in the same way that I don't think about what might go wrong. I've never spent my life sort of thinking what could go wrong, or else I wouldn't be here.
I think he asked her at the beginning if she was going to be the first lady.
First black, first female first lady.
Is that right?
Ready to be the first black first female.
I'm who I
first
am.
First lady.
I'm ready.
The first female first lady. I think she was not going to be the first female first lady. I think there have been some chicks in that position in the past. Larry's great, though. When Larry talks to Snoop Dogg, I think we have a clip of that. Jerry's looking for him. When he talks to Snoop Dogg, he gets into a jive and,
where are you at, my brother?
Yeah, right. That's what he does. But when he talks to, Barack Obama's wife, it's proper English. Here's the piece of him talking to Snoop Dogg.
Do you think America's really ready for a black president? You see prejudice all the time.
All the time. I think America is ready for a black president by him winning, like he's winning so far and even competing to be in the talks right now. I remember in the past where we had presidential candidates like Jesse Jackson, and it was a gimmick. It was like a joke because nobody really believed Jesse could win. Win, Jesse, win, but we didn't really think he could win. Right now, people really feel like this man could really win, and he's got the right thing going for him. He's got the right conversation. He's in line with the right, with the right scenario to win. And, whether he wins or loses, I feel like he made a great step.
I play the next clip.
Your real name is Calvin Broadus, right?
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever call you Calvin?
Sometimes, mainly Snoop Dogg.
How did you pick Snoop Dogg?
Right, my mother did clip. When I was a youngster. I'm not down with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. I represent the gangster party.
The gangster party.
Yes, sir.
Snoop. Are you still basically a gangster at heart?
Snoop. Yeah, Snoop. You still basically gangster. Ah, Bobo.
And let's not forget when he rapped for Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah. We have the rap there. He's doing a Frank Sinatra rap song. I think it's under Sinatra. Where he does a rap song with Snoop Dogg, and he raps a Frank Sinatra song. Guy's amazing. All right, well, Jerry looks for that. We'll continue with the news here. All right, what else is happening in the news, Robin?
Well, also with Larry King, comedian and political commentator Bill Maher was on Larry King recently.
Is that right?
Yes, he heatedly defended presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. And here is a clip of Maher theorizing on why some people don't like the Clintons.
L-193. Here we go.
Why do the haters of the Clintons hate the Clintons?
That's what I'm saying. It's about them. It's about the haters, not about the Clintons. You know? I think a lot of people are sexually repressed, and that's why they hate Bill Clinton. Seriously. They'll never forgive him because he likes sex, and he got it. And they don't like sex, or they can't get it.
Yeah, Bill Maher, you have it down right. All right, here's Larry King and Snoop Dogg. And this is Larry King going into a rap song with Snoop Dogg. Here we go.
Let's do a Sinatra. You like Sinatra, I like Sinatra.
I love it.
Can we do Sinatra rap?
Why not?
How do you do it? Like, what song can we do in rap?
Let's do Start Spreading the News.
I'm leaving today. All right, now that's not rap.
But you can make it rap,
okay,
Larry.
Let's go. Start spreading the news. I'm a leaving today.
Yeah.
Come on. I want to be a part of it. Come on.
New York.
Oh.
Come on.
I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps.
Oh, come on, waiting on you.
All right. Thank you very much. This Larry King is, I don't know how old he is. He's been over there for, you know, a very long time. He's the number one show over there. But after, you know, he's got a beautiful wife at home. He's got young kids. Why don't you just sit there with the wife and the kids?
You know, why jump the shark like he has?
I guess you know what it is. I guess he's like every guy on the planet where, you know, guys do make this mistake. They say they're going to take some time off because they want to spend it with the family, right? And then at 9 a.m. on Monday, you have your coffee. She has her coffee. The kids go off to school. What do you do?
Isn't that what all the writers were saying during the strike? All these writers that are home with their wives are like, get out of the house.
Right,
what,
yeah, exactly.
You're killing me.
Yeah, they don't want you around as much as you don't want to be around. And that's why when people have kids, and you know they call it the empty nest syndrome, when the final kid leaves, you got to talk to her again. You know, that 18-year
gap. 18 years of
The 18 years of not talking to her at all, now are all have got to come back together. And it's been 18 years since you've talked to her. So a lot of things have changed in her life that you haven't noticed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things have changed in your life that she hasn't noticed. And you come back together as two strangers, which might be nice. I don't know.
you're either going to go dating or that's it.
Exactly. All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes, Dr. Phil McGraw celebrated his 1,000th show recently. Dr. Phil, of course, is a former psychologist turned talk show host who got his start on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And Phil was lucky enough to have Oprah on the show to help him celebrate. And we have a clip of their happy reunion. P-137.
All right. Dr. Phil.
It's my 1,000th show, and it's hard to say 1,000th and show back to back. Oprah is here, and I told you at the time when I came on the show for the first time, I said, I just have to come and be who I am. And everybody but you said, it won't work.
Yeah, that's true.
They said it won't
work.
Y'all
know, at first, everybody told me this wouldn't work. My producers, everybody said, this is not this guy. And the audience had a really strong reaction to you, and it wasn't so good.
All right, I think we get it.
Now, that is one skanky-looking co-core.
You know, it's troublesome to me that you always know when your wife has watched Dr. Phil or Oprah.
Because you get home.
Yeah. Because she's a little quieter. She may have saw an episode on the problem or one of the problems that you have with her or she has with you.
We don't communicate.
And she's now loaded for bear because she's had an hour of Oprah pumping her up, saying, you know, you're the best and your husband sucks, right? And so then you walk home and you can feel the tension in the air. Like, because I know when I come in the house, or I come home at 11:30 at night, I can tell whether my wife has watched Oprah or Dr. Phil.
And thank goodness KCAL has reruns of Dr. Phil for you.
Oh, is that right?
Later on in the day.
Oh,
so
good. All right.
Getting you right at the right time.
Yeah. When is he on KCAL? Is he on twice?
He's on, I believe he's on right before the 8 o'clock news, so 7 o'clock.
Oh, boom, boom.
So there you go.
There you are.
Good times.
Let's go. Dr. Phil. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, finally, a Washington State woman who allegedly dropped an envelope containing money and a bag of methamphetamine at a bank was arrested and charged with drug possession. Sources say the 18-year-old customer mistakenly included the bag of drugs when she took out the money for deposit. And we have an exclusive clip of audio from the bank's security camera. M53.
All right. Depositing money and drugs in the bank. Who knew?
Hi, ma'am. Welcome to Bank of America. How can I help you today?
Yes, hi. I'd just like to deposit this envelope full of money.
Okay, here we go. All righty. We got about $500 in here. And, ma'am, what's this?
What are you talking about?
Is this a bag of methamphetamines?
Methamphetamine? What's that? I don't even know what that is. What's that? What's methamphetamine?
Ma'am, are you on speed?
Sir, I'm sure you don't know what you're talking about. What are you even referring to? I'm totally fine. Can I have the back, please?
I think I have to confiscate this.
Oh, my God, the ATM's been out twice.
Oh, my God, where?
She goes. All right. Wow, it sounded like she was on something there, didn't it, Robin?
Sounded like she might have been on a little bit of speed.
Yes. All right. All right, anything else in the news, Robin?
Oh, that's what's happening.
All right, in the news with Robin, everybody.
America Mile in Los Angeles. Robin with the news.
All right, Josh Rubenstein is with us from KCAL and also from CBS, but mostly CBS now.
Yeah, well, right? Both. Yeah, we're one big,
one big happy family?
One big happy family.
There's no like, competition between the two?
No, actually, you know what? We are much, there was a little in the beginning, I'll be honest. There was a little bit of, not knowing what to do with each other.
Right.
But now I think we're all in a new building. It's all brand new.
Beautiful out there.
No,
yeah. All right. Gorgeous. So you've been doing the weather for how long? You worked somewhere else before, obviously, KCAL.
Yeah. I worked in Santa Barbara, worked in cities in Illinois, Champaign, Rockford.
Yeah, back where you had weather.
That's right. Where you had tornadoes, snow.
Yeah, the snow and the summer tornadoes, the torrential downpour. And then out here, can you listen to KFWB or KNX on the way in and tell what the weather's going to be?
When it's 75, sunny, right. Yeah. But I do this every time I come on your show, and I say that this is one of the hardest places to do the weather. I think it's one of the hardest places to do
Well, I think it's, I think it, I think you're right, because, and again, I'm not a pro or anything, but I do, watch these, like the Doppler, and I'm watching these storms coming in, and you can never tell where they're going to go.
Well, that's the thing. Across the country, if you're watching things come in, you've got a whole country of sensors and stuff to watch it.
Right.
It's coming in
for days.
Yeah, exactly. Here, we got it off the Pacific, and all we have is a satellite, basically, to give us an idea of what's happening with it. But the reason I say it's tough is because I think everybody notices the subtle differences here. So in Illinois, I say it's going to be sunny. And it's pretty much sunny.
Right.
Everybody's cool with that.
Right.
You say it's sunny here, there better not be a cloud in the sky. If there is a cloud in the sky, or if there was a marine layer in the morning and then it's sunny,
right.
You messed up. You're worthless.
Right. But there are a lot of people Rick D said this, and I only know this from Brian Whitman, but when you talk about the weather, people stop and listen.
Absolutely.
Is that why it's so late in the broadcast?
Well, yeah, you gotta you
want, sort of tease
your,
to the weather.
Your biggest thing.
Yeah,
I'm of course the biggest part of the news.
You are. I mean, you and Jackie Johnson over there.
She is the most important part of the news.
Yes. Now, what's so rainfall? We're cool this year.
Yeah,
the drought's over.
3.5 inches above average, so we're doing well.
And the drought's over.
Well, I mean, the drought is based on the Colorado River or the Sierra snowpack.
Right. And how's the Sierra snowpack? I heard it's out of control.
It's great. We have great systems moving through. Great snow up there. Colorado River's still very low. That hasn't changed all that much.
Right.
So it's kind of a mixture of the two.
I have a brother who lives in Colorado. And he said, so far this season, they've had 403 inches of snow.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Because what's been happening, all those storms, at least in the beginning of the season when we didn't have anything going on,
right.
All those storms were hitting Northern California, hitting the Sierra up to the north, and then going into the Rockies and in through Colorado. So, while we weren't getting much in the beginning of the season, they were getting hit pretty hard.
Yeah, it's nice to, Southern California is great. You have to deal with a lot of a-holes out here, though.
Oh, yeah.
you've got your share of really creepy people here in Southern California. But I don't understand. Like, for instance, I'm not a real outdoorsy guy. Mm-hmm. I don't golf. I don't swim. I don't run. I don't play basketball. I don't hike. I don't go to the beach. I don't do any of the outdoor stuff here. Mm-hmm. So the question for me is, why the hell am I here?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, you know? I hear there's good real estate in Nebraska.
Yeah, but I could be in Nebraska and enjoy myself the same as I do out here because I don't go out anywhere.
There's a lot of stuff going on out there.
I know, but I think the reason why, you know, homes in Southern California are $800,000 for a three-bedroom, two-bathroom is because of the weather.
Yeah.
You can go outside all year round.
Yeah, pretty much.
But for a guy who doesn't really like that, I'm an idiot for living
here.
You're not
making the most of your dollar out here, are you?
I'm like one of the few guys who's like a shut-in. Not a shut-in, but I'm not out, you know, enjoying the outdoors.
Do you sit down on your patio?
Not that often. Because you got the West Nile.
I understand.
You got the mosquitoes coming out.
You're absolutely right.
It's in the San Fernando Valley, it's been 80 for about 3 days, and there's already mosquitoes coming out.
It already feels like summer there.
Yeah, everyone feels
absolutely
like the West
right.
Nile is about to, you know, to wipe everybody out.
You're getting rid of all the standing water
right,
in your
exactly.
property.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm already doing, that with the chlorine and everything. But I also made this mistake last year of getting plants too early, and then they froze in late February.
We're still in winter. I mean, it's still right. Just because it's nice now doesn't mean we're not going to get cold again.
Right.
You know,
so. All right. So we're anyway. Thanks for coming in.
You betcha.
And we're not going to talk about weather the whole time, but I wanted you to come in because I thought you're one of these guys who've been in Southern California for a long time, mm-hmm. at least 12 years. What, 13 or 14
yeah,
years?
13 years.
And you've seen. You know, again, Southern California, great place to live. You got Hollywood out here. You got all the stars, all the glamour, all the glitz. But again, if you're not an outdoorsy guy, you shouldn't be here in Southern California taking up the space.
Taking up the space, honestly, yeah.
Because
giving me traffic.
Because this San Fernando Valley, I don't know where you live. You live in
San Fernando Valley.
You live in the Valley?
Yeah.
The Valley, the population is 2 million people.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was its own city, it would be the seventh largest city in America.
Right.
It'd be just, I think, a little bigger or a little smaller than Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Houston and, you know, even smaller towns like, San Diego or, Denver, Colorado. Look at what they have in Denver. In Denver, you've got, a football team, basketball team, baseball team, hockey team. And Denver is not much bigger than the San Fernando Valley.
True.
And in San Fernando Valley, we got nothing.
That's true. We have nothing to identify ourselves.
There's nothing.
Because we're part of L.A.
Right. But there's no identifiable, like Anaheim, it's Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Valencia, it's Magic Mountain.
I think we had the Galleria for a while in the 80s, right?
But how do you identify other than Universal Studios? And that's not even really.
Porn.
Yeah.
I believe that's.
Right. Yeah, right. Pornography is it.
Pornography and the
right.
Galleria.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing in the Valley. Yeah. But the Valley has, they got no racetrack. They've got, they've got no baseball team, no football team, hockey, basketball, not a museum that I've seen.
Mm.
I don't remember seeing any kind of museum out there.
You've got stuff in Pasadena, but not much.
You've got LACMA, out here. You've got the Getty Center in the city, but the Valley has nothing.
Well, because I think there's still time because the Valley's really new, right? The Valley is relatively new for Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's relatively new, but I don't think they're planning on putting anything out there either.
Big museum headed our way, or?
But it's and what makes me crazy is the Southern California. I mean, the San Fernando Valley subsidizes a lot of what goes on in Los
mm-hmm.
Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the money in the San Fernando Valley goes over the hill.
Absolutely.
As
right.
opposed to the other way around. And that's why I was for, secession in the Valley. And it could have been like Anaheim or Orange County, where the streets were paved with gold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when you go down to Orange County and you're traveling south on the 5 freeway and you hit the 91,
and
it opens up. There's 900. Everyone has their own lane.
There's a rainbow comes
right.
through everybody.
And everyone's enjoying themselves. But the San Fernando Valley, other than Universal Studios,
mm-hmm.
what are the attractions of the San Fernando Valley? I mean, when you have like family in town, the toughest thing for me to do is when I have family or friends in town in the San Fernando Valley and you want to keep them busy for the week. You can send them to Universal one day, mm-hmm. maybe 2 days, but you can't send them anywhere in the Valley.
It's tough.
They have to go to the beach or they got to go to the city.
I think Ventura Boulevard is starting to become a little better. It's getting a little better. There's more stuff to do in Studio City, Sherman Oaks.
But I don't think there's really any attractions. I mean,
no, I'm just saying, there's some nice stores and restaurants.
If you look up, I'm going to show this to you on the internet, but if you look up San Fernando Valley tourist attractions,
okay.
The only thing that comes up,
Universal?
One thing comes up. Not really. Universal, I discard because it's halfway. Really its own city there. Universal City. I think it's so close to Los Angeles and the Hollywood Bowl that I don't really consider it the Valley.
Okay.
I mean, it's on the hill. Mm-hmm. I consider the Valley, you know, guys that are living on flat land. But if you're in the San Fernando Valley and you look up on the internet tourist attractions in San Fernando Valley, with the exception of Universal, here's what you get. You get the Japanese gardens. Now, do you know where they are?
Near Lake Balboa?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. Have you ever been there?
No.
No. Nobody has.
I've been to Lake Balboa, but I've never been there.
But that's the attraction that they talk about. Yeah. I remember back in the San Fernando Valley, we had some interesting stuff. We had Busch Gardens back in the old day, which was a sort of amusement park.
Sure.
And it was just a way to get guys to drive down there, let the kids run around while they drink Budweiser all day.
There you go.
No problem with that. But the San Fernando Valley has nothing. It offers nothing.
It turns out I never thought of it that way. I'm going to go home a little depressed tonight.
It's really a family-oriented...
Well, it's the suburb of America. You know, it is the original suburb.
Right.
You know?
And it shuts down at 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's over. You can drive on any street and go anywhere. And the nice thing about living in the Valley, and the reason why I don't move to the city, is you can't find parking in the city anywhere.
That's the thing, yeah.
In the San Fernando Valley, you can park everywhere.
You can park everywhere.
On the street, you can park in the lot, and everything's free. Mm-hmm. You never have to pay for parking in the Valley.
And the valet's even cheap, even when you have to go to the valets along Ventura Boulevard, or, it's not even that bad.
Yeah, you go to valet parking at Baroni's, and I think it's like 2.25.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's great.
It's terrific. But the problem with the San Fernando Valley is it's starting to get really crowded.
No, it's awful.
You know? I mean, it's starting to back up.
Along Moore Park?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're building every condo you can think of.
And the Warner Center out there, too, is going to kick ass in the Valley.
Well, and aren't they putting on that new shopping mall from along Topanga that's going to run all the way along Topanga? They've got it right near Yankee Doodles over there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yankee Doodles is open during construction.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's a sign I see all the time.
I saw that today myself. I was driving on Topanga, coming down Topanga, going to Victory from Mulholland. And it does take you a little while to do that. And then, yeah. They wiped out that. You know, it used to be a golf course. It used to be a driving range.
Really? I didn't even know that.
It used to be a pitch and putt. I'm sorry, a miniature golf, trampolines, the whole white trash 9 yards, right? And they removed that. And now they're going to build a huge mall there.
Right.
Like, that's what we need.
It's going to be like the Grove. They're going to make it like.
Is that
they're
right?
They're going to make it like the Grove. From
all right,
what I hear.
Well, that's certainly what.
But that's
we
the
need.
Last thing we need is more traffic over there.
And between two malls.
Right. They put in that Nordstrom, the new mall over there.
Right. And then the other one that's south of there.
Yeah, by the Marriott.
Like the Promenade. The two Westfields.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe somebody has a master plan for the Valley, but I don't know what it is. I really don't. All right. We come back. I got a story. Something happened to me the other day, and I want to see if this happened to Josh as well. But the government sometimes really doesn't work that well. I know it comes as a shock to you. But I got to tell you what happened to me, and I'm sure guys will pile on here, but it happened in the post office.
All right.
And it's just an incredible story. In 2008, this happened. All right. It is the Conway Whitman Show. Whitman's out. Josh Rubenstein is with us, and we're live on 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Josh Rubenstein is sitting in for Brian Whitman. Maybe he'll be back tomorrow. Who knows? And this happened to me on Thursday of last week. I left the Staples Center. We did Backstage of the Grammys. Awfully entertaining, fun afternoon with everybody. And then I had to have two packages delivered overnight. Mm-hmm. And I missed the FedEx. So I had to get to the post office by 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked on, I called information. They said that the closest one is Hollywood. So I go to the Hollywood
Wilcox.
Post office. Yeah, Wilcox, yeah. Right. The strangest mother effers on the planet.
Well, you're writing a dividing line between crazy and,
and
normal.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the next few years it might improve. But everybody in that post office has had all of their dreams blow up on them. Every one of them. Nobody has a dream
left. The streets aren't paved with gold
no,
over there.
And, everyone has luggage with them, a dog with a rainbow sweater. I mean, it's a disaster in there. So I'm in line. There's about 10 people in front of me, and there's one window open. And the woman there is dealing with this transaction, And he's got like an overnight, you know, box he's got to send to Europe. And there might be a question of it's flammable crap in there, whatever. So he's taking some time. And then somebody blasts away going, hey, hey, can you open up another window? And that's the last place on the planet where the guy yelling at the employees, everyone applauds him, right? You do that in Gelson's and people think you're an a-hole. But if you do it in the Pozo, it's like, yeah, that's my hero, that guy. So a lady comes out and she's handing out cards to everybody or the phone number of the 800 number to call and complain about the service.
So she didn't open up a window.
She didn't open up a window. She came out to tell everybody what number to call if you want to complain about the service. And I'm thinking to myself, this has got to be like the last place on the planet that has such terrible customer service.
Well, I'll say is,
and I'm not talking about the guys that are running the mail around, you know, the neighbors.
I think those guys
work their asses off.
They're absolutely the best.
I'm talking about the people in the post office. Yeah,
I try to avoid the branches like the plague.
Yeah, I do too. I go 5 miles out of my way to a mailbox, etc. Mm-hmm. Tom and Vivian out there on Ventura Boulevard, just west of Lindley, and you pay a little more, mm-hmm. but you never have to sit in line. You don't have to sit there and explain, you know. When you drop something off at the post office, like if you're doing an overnight and you do with UPS or FedEx and you give it to the FedEx guy, it's tracked. You got the numbers, the receipt.
Check it out online. You can watch your package go.
And when you give a package to a guy who works for FedEx, it's like giving something to your brother to give to your dad. It's like, hey, Pat, will you give that to dad? It's gold, right?
Pat drinks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. You know it's going to get there on time. And if it doesn't, first of all, I've never had a FedEx package not get there on time, ever. Not a single time. And so you pay a little more for that service, but it's worth it. So I give these two packages to the lady overnight. She stamps them both. And then throws them into a bin. And I'm walking out of there thinking, those will never get there.
You're in cold sweats in the middle of the night.
Right. It turns out they both did get there.
There you go.
But I had no confidence whatsoever. I made a backup CDs and backup plans for everything.
Just in case nothing got there.
Yeah, just in case nothing happened.
We do have, what do they say? It's the best system in the world.
What, the post office?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Our U.S. post office.
I know you don't feel good about it, but
I think service, that's a problem I see all the time. You go to a place and there's one checkout person.
Right.
And a lot of people walking around that work there.
Right.
There are a lot of people walking around waiting, talking to each other, you know, shooting nobody goes to open up another register. Right. Drives me nuts.
It's one of the reasons I go and I try. And, you know, sometimes I, you know, if I'm doing a lot of shopping with my wife, I'll go to like Ralph's or Vons because I think it's less expensive than Gelson's. But Gelson's, if there's two people in line, they'll open up another register. Yeah. They want to zip people through because they're, you know, I think they're charging a little more. Brian complains that he thinks I'm wrong, that Gelson's is the same thing as
Ralph's. No, they charge a little more. But they have better.
I'm sure they do.
They have good customer service.
They have great customer service.
Yeah.
But the post office is absolutely the worst customer service on the planet. For a woman, and I don't know why the plexiglass is there in the post office. I'm not sure.
Who's
protecting who? Is it the plexiglass is there to protect the customers from the crazy employees or the crazy customers from the employees? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. And at the Hollywood branch, the plexiglass is about
really
4 inches thick. You know, you could drive a tank through there. But I think that is sort of indicative of how much anger is directed towards those people sit on the other side. You have to be behind 4 inches of glass. You go to a FedEx store. And the guy's just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not behind glass. He just sits there.
Well, I don't think it's like that at all the branches. Because I think there are some branches where there's a guy there and you don't have any glass.
Right, and there's no glass between you and him. But the ones where there's a lot of hostility, like in Hollywood. folks, how do you deal with this? I mean, do you go to like I do to a mailbox, et cetera? But how do you deal with the post office? And if you had the same experience I've had, and I don't know what it is about it, but if I have a bad experience at a 7-Eleven, I'll keep going back to the 7-Eleven. But I have a bad experience, you know, at a gas station, whatever. I don't really get that pissed. But when I have a bad experience at the post office, I can literally feel my blood boiling.
Relatively, it's a cheap experience. It's not like you're spending tons and tons and tons of cash.
Yeah, and I don't mind spending a little more if the service is great. And I think it's going up
It's 27 cents for a postcard. I know that.
Yeah, I think it's 43 cents. It's going to 44. I think they're going to raise it a penny.
Yeah.
You know, some stupid thing like that. All right, here are the phone numbers, gang. An opportunity to blast away at these a-holes, especially the Hollywood branch of the U.S. Postal Service. 520-9710.
Your package is never going to get there now.
I'm never going there again. They can all go F themselves. Every one of those idiots that work there. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. And again, I'm not directing at these guys that run around and you know, and deliver the mail. They do a great job. It's the women and the eunuchs that sit behind these counters, and you know, and again, this is something else that these people do, and I can't figure it out. They'll take a package from a guy. And he'll be all set, and he'll leave the post office, and then do like a minute or two of paperwork. But not on the stuff that he just dropped off, like other paperwork they have to do.
In between.
And they sit there, and they sit there, and then they call on you like their royalty. You know, like next peasant, next peasant, next one of you scumbags who can't afford UPS or FedEx. It drives me
insane. It's top down, though, so whoever's at the top, right. You know.
And then I leave the Hollywood post office. And I got a ticket on my car.
So right? Let's go with the meter maids.
Right.
Now,
right? It's a 20-minute zone. And I was in there for, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes. And I come out and she's writing me a ticket. And I said, darling, I said, I'm not going to go ape S here, but I did put a quarter in that meter and it's not working. And she goes, I hear that all the time. Right? So she continues writing the ticket. And I said, how about if I put a quarter in the meter in front of you? And if nothing comes up, then you take the ticket and rip it up. And she said, you got it. So now I go into the car. I'm looking for a quarter.
You don't have a quarter.
I'm looking for like a sticky one, you know, the one that won't work. And I come out, and it's like the moment of truth. I slide it into the meter. Nothing happens.
There you go.
And she did. She took the ticket back.
There you go. Yeah. See, there's some justice in the world.
I made it, man. But, I mean, at that point.
It's a happy ending there.
Yeah. But you know, the city was attacking me at one point. The government was attacking me.
Los Angeles was getting you down.
Los Angeles was absolutely on the attack with the post office and then the chick out with the car. All right, let's talk to Robert real quickly in Irvine, then we'll take a break. Robert, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right.
Actually, I've worked at a mailboxes, et cetera, before.
Right.
I worked at two of them. They're both owned by the same owner down here in Irvine. And they actually can set their own prices, even though they're not supposed to because it's a franchise.
Right.
But they had us do what they called overestimate. We would basically double the size of the package just because the owners got all the back money that UPS didn't take.
Oh, I see.
So, I mean, the post office, while you don't have the tracking number, it's government-owned and it's a little bit more trustworthy than all the franchises.
Well, you know what? I don't know whether that's true or not. Maybe that is for, you know, the one or two stores that, you know, he worked at Orange County. But I've always had, any experience I've ever had with UPS or FedEx has always been positive.
Well, I'm okay with paying a little more because I know, because you get the comforts of being able to track the package. So.
Right. And I've never had a negative experience with FedEx or UPS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they come to the door, they're always upbeat. I don't know if they're on crack
They're the nicest people in the world.
Yeah, but you know, they've got a job where they're running around in this brown van and sometimes it's 110 degrees out and they come with a smile on their face.
What's funny is, my regular mail lady, wonderful. There are some people that fill in for her.
Not so great.
Well, they get scared. I have a yellow lab, right? He's not a scary dog, but he barks at everything coming by. And they walk up, and they're all scared. But the FedEx guy, never frightened.
Yeah. No, you know, FedEx should take over the post office. I don't care if they charge $10 a letter. All right. Your experience with these a-holes at the post office, it is, and I promised myself at the beginning of the year I wasn't going to go to a post office again. I had to. And it set me back 5 years. All right. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. In for Whitman is Josh Rubenstein, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Josh Rubenstein is in for Brian Whitman, and it looks like Dave Smith might be coming by. Yeah, let's turn Josh's mic on.
Hello.
There you go.
There it is.
Dave Smith is with KLAC. I don't know if he's still with them or not. Talk a little sports in the 10 o'clock
hour.
You're a big Cubs fan, right?
A huge Cub fan.
And Bears?
Because I grew up in Chicago. I'm a huge Chicago sports fan.
Right.
Yeah, but I enjoy, you know, if it's not the Cubs, I love the Dodgers.
Yeah, right. It's tough to sell that. All right, the post office sucks. That's not new, but Danny and El Monte might have a take on this. Danny, you're on 97.1.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Hey, all right, what do you got?
Well, I used to work for a printing company, and sometimes we have to go in the front. So this place is like about three open booths they have. And I thought I was next. There's like one guy in front of me. So I thought like about 1 minute I'll be there. And suddenly like this, and they're like talking to each other. They're like, we call it the Mayberry Post Office.
Thank you. Nicole and Corona, you're on 97.1.
Hey.
Hey.
Well, my friend had my iPod, and he sent it via the post office. I told him he needs to do it UPS or FedEx, something with a tracking number.
Right.
But he said, no, post office will be fine. It's cheaper. I said, okay.
So long.
Some guy somewhere is listening to an iPod.
Right.
Yep. So 4 weeks went by. Never saw the package. He has some sort of confirmation number because he insured the package
right.
for $300. But both the post offices, the one that it shipped from and supposed to ship to, so they never don't have the package. Never received it.
Right.
And I have to prove
SOL.
Yeah. And I have to prove to them that how much it was worth before any kind of paperwork will be filed. Or
it's a fun group, isn't it?
Yeah. And they just look at me like, what do you want me to do about it?
Right. So it's over for the iPod.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. But
yeah. How many songs did you have on it?
About 1,000.
Wow.
Oh. It was just the old silver one.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, get yourself another one. And just don't ever go to the post office again.
Yeah.
All right. Or when you see one of those guys driving that truck around, give him the bird.
Yeah.
All right.
And I have a lady who drives around. Like, the people who walk around, they're pretty cool. But the people who drive, one time I accidentally parked in front of it, and they get out to put a note on your car, but don't go, like, a half a foot away to put your mail in the box.
Because it was in the way.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, baby. That's another thing that I haven't gotten so far. I don't have an iPod. Do you have an iPod?
I actually do.
Yeah. And how many songs do you have on it?
A lot.
How many?
Well, I've got to have like 6,000-7,000 songs.
7,000 songs?
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of songs.
All right. Now, how often do you listen to the 6,998 songs?
I've made lots of little playlists for different occasions.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've got,
7,000
having people
songs.
Over for dinner, we've got that. And we've got I'm at work, listening to something while I'm working.
Like a dinner party? You have a list for that?
Yeah, it's a little.
What does that include?
A little jazz, little, light music.
Right. Yeah. And then the times when the wife
driving.
Is out of town.
Yeah. We got a little more, something a little more driving, a little more. Hard,
All right, so you must have the big iPod.
Yeah, I got that big
one. Looks like a suitcase.
Yes, exactly. Right.
I don't know. The only reason I don't have an iPod is I'm not the big fan of music, and I wouldn't know what to put in it. I mean, I have the last CD I bought was Hotel California.
It's been quite a while.
No, I'm sorry. The Eagles Long Run.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just not, I just don't listen to music. When my wife and I are in the car.
They have podcasts, they've got. All kinds of things
you
can listen to.
Yeah, I guess
to.
I should get
Although
into
you,
it.
Although you are, you're in radio every day, probably the last thing you want.
I should, because I like listening to other, shows that are on and I don't get an opportunity to listen to. But when my wife and I go to Vegas, I listen to talk radio. That's all I listen to, just talk radio. Whether it's, this station, KFI, KBC, the talk stations through the desert. And she listens to music. Mm-hmm. So before the iPod, it was a constant fight. It'd be a huge battle.
She doesn't want to listen to all the talks.
Yeah, so. I'd go into a 7-Eleven to get some beef jerky. I'd come out and there's music on. She would go take a leak. It'd come out and, Al Rantel's buzzing around. So. But I guess now with the iPod, she can do what she wants. I do what I want. And we literally go to Vegas and we don't say anything to each other.
You're on your own.
Or the whole way back. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Dave Smith is with us, a huge, huge sportscaster. He had the privilege of working with Tom Looney. How about that? Not a lot of people can say that, man. And we'll come back. We'll talk a little about sports. There's a lot of things going on, including The Sports Illustrated issue is out there. The bathing suit issue.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
It's Conway and Whitman. In for Whitman is Josh Rubenstein. We're live at 97.1 Free FM.